Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we remain standing and open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, they said, this man calleth for Elijah. That's Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried aloud with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many, that word is polis, means many, much, or a great deal of bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the grave after his resurrection. So notice, he cried with a loud voice, and then the graves opened, not the way that we think opened, but they opened, the bodies rose, not the way that we understand to arise at this point, because they didn't come out of the grave until after his resurrection 3 days later. And they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Again, that word is polos, means a great deal of people. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and loving Father, we have read this morning of the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. And not only of his resurrection, Father, but of the resurrection of many of the saints which slept, having risen after his resurrection, going into the city and being seen of many. So, Father, we have an alpha convocation, an alpha gathering, and an alpha resurrection. Help us today, Father, as we proceed further into the scriptures to look at the omega convocation, the omega resurrection. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Wednesday night, we examined the Holy Convocation that took place at the Alpha Ministry of Christ as we saw the first half of the first resurrection take place in Matthew 27. This morning, we will look at the Omega Holy Convocation, which is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18. We have another promise, brothers and sisters, of another holy convocation, a holy gathering. And I don't want to miss it for the world. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, we read, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him or himself. So see, it is God that has come down at this time with a shout, which Brother Branham, in his rapture sermon, told us the shout is a message. And he says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming, that word is parousia, it means presence. So we which are alive and remain unto the presence of the Lord, and there is only one true Lord, and he is God. So Paul is talking about the presence of the one true God, our Lord and Savior. And he says that we which are alive and remain unto the parousia, the presence of the Lord, shall not prevent or come before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, that's a message, with the voice of the archangel, that's the resurrection, and with the trump of God, that's the catching away. And then the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, after that, we which are alive and remain or have survived shall be caught up together with them, together with who? The living, with those who had already passed away and have rose from the dead. And shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So notice it says that the dead in Christ shall rise first before we get our change. Now, Wednesday night, we spoke concerning the first holy convocation, which is mentioned in Matthew 27, where the Old Testament saints were raised from the dead and were seen by many witnesses. And I call that the holy convocation at the Alpha Resurrection. And now we've read in 1 Thessalonians concerning the Omega Resurrection. And I want to speak on this morning concerning the holy convocation, which will take place at this Omega Resurrection. So therefore, there must be scripture concerning this holy convocation or gathering that is to take place in this seventh age as well. In Matthew 24:28, we read one, for wheresoever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Brother Branham explained that to us, that wherever the fresh kill or the fresh word for the hour is. Matthew 22:10, so those servants went out into the highway and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And this is the parable that Jesus tells us the scene and how it's going to take place. Matthew 24:31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. And Brother Branham again explained that, notice, he says his angels, a small a, that's messengers. 2 Thessalonians 2:1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming or the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. So we find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, speaking of not only a presence, an appearing and presence, but a gathering that takes place. Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time you might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. So we understand then that the setting has to be, number one, there has to be a presence. There has to be an appearing of God. Number two, there has to be a gathering together to that presence. Now, he's not finished yet. And if you recall Wednesday night, we showed 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 22, how it speaks of the first resurrection. But the rest of the chapter speaks of the Omega resurrection. So with that in mind, let's examine what the Apostle Paul says concerning the resurrection and the body change. Verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterwards they that are Christ at his parousia. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. In other words, God is placing all things under the feet of his Son. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are you then baptized for the dead? Now, I'm going to read verse 30 to 31 from the translation called The Voice, because it's very beautiful. Paul says, why are we putting our lives on the line all the time if there is no resurrection? I die every day. I swear that it's true. That's something you take pride in, brothers and sisters, as I do in Jesus, the anointed, our Lord. Then Paul says, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me? In other words, what good does it do me if the dead rise not? And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then let us just eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Then Paul admonishes them by saying, be not deceived. All evil communication corrupts good manners. Don't get that negative confession on you like the world has. It only tears you down. Awake to righteousness, a right wiseness, a right thinking, and sin not. Nor disbelieve not, for sin is disbelief. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Now, those are good questions, and Paul gives us the answer in the same chapter. And we find also more answers from William Branham, prophet of God. Then Paul begins to explain how that the quickening in the body cannot happen until the body dies to itself. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Now, that is exactly what Brother Branham said in paragraph 82 of what is the Holy Ghost given for. He said, one more scripture if you want to write it down, John 12:24. Let me quote it to you right quick. Jesus said, if a corn of wheat fall into the ground, except it die, it cannot bring forth another life. Well, that comes down to then how can you have a second birth or a new birth unless you die first to yourself? Now, let's continue. Verse 37, and that which thou sowest, thou, thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. God hath given it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and other of fishes, and other birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another of the moon, glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Albeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, he's earthy. The second man is the Lord of heaven. Now, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are of the heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption hath put on incorruption, and this mortal hath put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, if you notice, this word work came from the same Greek word ergon, which is used in John 14:12. And it tells us that knowing our resurrection from this natural state to a supernatural one, it ought to make you keep on doing the work of the Lord until that day comes. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, I know some people think that John 14:12 is doing great supernatural feats. You know, like, speaking things into existence and doing all kinds of super-duper type things. But let me just say this. Brother Branham said eternal life is living for others. That's John 14:12 in its simplicity. It's being obedient to the Father. Jesus said the Son can do nothing but what the Father shows him to do. So when Jesus walked past 300 people in the Pool of Bethesda to pray for one person, it's because God showed him that one person. Just one person. Now, Brother Bram said in a sermon, who is this Melchizedek? He said, notice again, Melchizedek went to meet Abraham before he got back home. What a beautiful type we have here. Melchizedek meeting Abraham before he got back home after the battle. We meet Jesus in the air before we get home. That's right. 2 Thessalonians tells us that. For we meet him in the air. A beautiful type of Rebekah meeting Isaac in the field in the cool of the day. We meet him in the air. And I just like to ask, where did Rebekah and Isaac meet? In the tent. Just. All right. 1 Thessalonians tells us, For we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So there's going to be a gathering together. All right. Now he says, perfect, all these types. Therefore, the theophany, if you have died and entered into that theophany, what happens? The theophany comes back to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. And if you are here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany. There you are. And caught up and go to meet the Lord in the air. Who is this Melchizedek but God? Now notice Brother Bram's talking about our body change. Number one, he says, if you are among those who have died already, then you enter first into your theophany. Then with that theophany, you come forth to get your redeemed body. But if you have died and entered into that theophany, what happens? He said the theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. Then once that redeemed body is joined to the theophany, it becomes a glorified body. Number two, on the other hand, those of us who are among the living will get our body changed and then go to that theophany to complete the glorification process. And if you're here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany, there you are, and caught up and go to meet the Lord in the air. From Uniting Time and Sign, Brother Ram says, all right, we find that now the time comes when the trumpet sounds and those sleeping saints back there that could not be made perfect without us, there's many of those, Hebrews 11, and when they come together, they unite with the living ones. The church uniting with the Word, then the Word and the world, then the church and the Word uniting together, being come one. The dead saints with the living saints uniting together to be one, and all going together to unite with Christ yonder for the wedding supper of the Lamb. So he's letting us know that, first of all, the dead will be raised first. Then there'll be a meeting. We will begin to see them. We will get together. We get together for a period of time, and then we go to meet Jesus. Now, never forget that there is a time and a season to plant every seed. There's a time and a season for every seed to be harvested. And the planting has been going on. It began with the Son of Man ministry, sowing the seed in this end time. Then came later ministries anointed by the same Holy Spirit and watered that seed that has been sown. Just like we plant in the springtime and then water all summer long until the time of harvest, and then we harvest what seed has been sown, which is now fully ripe for the picking. So too God has sown his own word seed with his shout, his message. And there had to be then a time of watering, which has taken place since, I believe, around 1977, when the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit began to water the seed of the message. But there is also a time of harvest, and there is a season for sowing. There's a season also for reaping. And just as there is an indicators when to sow, and there must also be indicators when to reap. And we find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is basically the context of the message today. Is we have entered into that season for the reaping. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming, that word is parousia, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Notice Paul begins with, we beseech you, brethren. And this word beseech means to beg or urgent, a beg for urgency or anxiously. In other words, to request earnestly, to implore. He says, I implore you. In other words, Paul is making a very serious emotional request to the brethren concerning the parousia of Christ and concerning the gathering that is to take place at his presence. Then he lets us know why he's so seriously and emotionally trying to get their attention, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. So Paul is telling us that his concern is not that there is coming a day when Christ shall appear, his presence or parousia, is not what causes Paul's concern. Nor is a gathering to Christ at that time what concerns Paul. But his concern is there will come a falling away at that time, and then the wicked one will reveal or unveil himself and step in and take over. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So we have three identifiable characteristics that we are in the time of resurrection. Number one, God's presence will be on the scene. We've known that for quite a long time now. Number two, there will be a gathering together unto him. We know that that has taken place. That's this message. And after this gathering, there will be a shaking take place that will cause many to fall away. That's what's happening right now. People spend more time away from church than they spend in church. You'll never see them missing a day of work, but they miss church all the time. Or not just missing church, but actually leaving church altogether or leaving this message altogether. Then the one who sits in the temple of God will try to interpose himself as God to the people. Now this next couple of verses of scripture are very hard for most people to understand what exactly they mean. Let's read them now. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. And now you know who is holding back until he has everything in place for his takeover of planet Earth. That's what it's saying. Notice. And now you know what withholdeth, who's holding back, that he might be revealed in his time. Now, he's not talking about the revelation of Christ here. He's talking about the revelation of Antichrist. All right? But he is holding back until it is time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's already underhanded. It's already behind the scenes. He's already playing out his scheme, but it's behind the scenes until he has everything that he has been working on in place. That is why Paul says a mystery, which a mystery is something that is hidden. And he says this mystery of iniquity is already at work, but it is hidden. It is behind the scenes, but one day when he's ready to reveal himself, then it's all over. And then Paul says, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, who is this he that is now letting? He's letting what? He that is now letting the hidden mystery go undetected is God himself. He who now letteth, and the words he and who tell us it is a person. Notice, only he who. He's talking about a person, not some system. And a person who has the power to let happen what is happening. And only God can allow these things to take place because they are to fulfill the entire plan of redemption and allow the people of the earth and his people to be judged worthy of burning. Now, the fact is that God always sends forth a warning first and then judgment. He sends forth mercy and then judgment. When people spurn God's mercy, there's nothing left but judgment. Now, what Paul is telling us here is that it is God who is allowing the mystery of iniquity to go unchecked until God himself leaves the midst of humanity, and when his spirit that is now in our midst leaves the earth, he will take his elect who have been gathered to him, and all hell will then break forth on the earth, and man will end up destroying himself. Now, I'd like to read it from the Weiss translation. Do you not remember that while I was with you, I kept telling you these things? And now you know with a positive assurance that which namely the departure of the church, the saints being assembled to the Lord, is preventing his being disclosed as to his true identity in a strategic appointed time, for the mystery of the aforementioned lawlessness is now operating. Only he, the Holy Spirit, who is holding the lawlessness down, will do so until he goes out from the midst of humanity, and then shall the lawless one be disclosed in his true identity. So I see here that the scripture speaks first of the saints gathering to the Lord. That is what the shout has produced, a holy convocation, a gathering together unto him. And then Paul speaks of the departure from the earth of the saints. Then as if in the same breath, Paul also tells us this will happen when the Holy Spirit departs from the midst of humanity. Now the Holy Spirit could not depart from the midst of humanity if he were not here. And if we are to be gathered together to him first, then when he goes, we go. For nowhere in Scripture does it speak contrary to this. Nowhere in Scripture does it speak of the Lord leaving from the earth at a different time than when the saints leave. So if we are gathered together unto him first, then it is he that takes us up from the midst of humanity, just like Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into the mountain. And in the first seal, Brother Brown tells us exactly the same thing. Notice, and when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, will crown him King of Kings. That's right, see? You see, that is what the last trump, that is at the last trump when we're caught away and we go to meet the Son of God in the air. Now let's look at some more quotes concerning this time of the resurrection, which we are now in the season based on what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians. The indicators being the parousia, the gathering together unto him, and then the great falling away, which has begun. Now, we couldn't say until the last couple of years that the falling away had taken place. But we've seen it, and it's getting worse and worse. Now, in his sermon Mother's Day, Brother Branham said, as the light begins to spread, we'll know as we're known, we'll understand. And we'll remember our acquaintances and the one that's been there, and there'll be many there that we didn't even think would be there. For you know it's at that time that I believe that the bread that we have cast upon human troubled waters will return to us on that day. When we see the effects of our testimony on people that we didn't understand their actions toward it, we'll probably be there. What a day that will be. And then the seeds that we sowed, not even thinking what they would do, but here they are. They brought forth precious fruits and will see them on that day. And a few minutes later in that same sermon, Brother Branham says in paragraph 86, as that great light begins to spread, as we begin to look around, and the great circle will be getting and greater, it's just all reflecting the approach of Jesus. And after a while, as the song said, I shall see Jesus at last. He will be waiting for me. Jesus, so kind and true. On his beautiful throne, he'll welcome me home after this day is through. Then as we see him, and will not be as we are now, we'll know how to love him more. We'll not stand back with a little fear because we'll be like him. He'll be more of a relative to us than he is now. We'll understand him better because we're so far away in the mortal bodies. Then we'll have a body like his own glorious body. We'll know how to worship him. And when we see that what the presence of his being has done to us and changed us, the old man back young, all the deformed straightened out, oh, we'll understand then why his power healed us. The questions that's been in our mind. How can he do that? What would this? And somehow, mysteriously, they'll all fade away. The knots that's been tied in the back of our minds, will it be this? How could it be? Somehow or another, majestic fingers will just untangle, unravel those knots, and it'll all fade into one big crown of love. From Jehovah Jireh. And then remember, if we go before he comes, we will be up and in his presence or raised before the others are changed. Now, I hope you caught this. He said, they will be up before we who have not yet died are changed. The trump of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Look at the order of the resurrection. See? God knows that we long to see our loved ones. And if we got there to meet him first, we'd be looking around to see if mother or dad and the rest of them was there. But see how the Holy Spirit in his wisdom, we meet one another first. And then when we get there and sing Amazing Grace, that's when there's going to be a time of worship. Now, you know, I saw this in the dream that I was in that big tent. I remember looking around and seeing everyone that I knew that made it. And I remember saying to myself, we all made it. And I knew you, but after I woke from God, he seemed to have withheld who it was that I saw. But I remember so plainly when I turned and I looked and I saw, it just seemed like everybody that I knew that was standing with me in this word was there. But when I woke up, I didn't remember anybody. Except for I did remember because my family was at the table with me. That's all. And I'm just wondering if God just didn't allow that to be, because then if I knew exactly who made it, who didn't, then it would affect me, I think, for sure. But I saw you people there. It was as real to me as it was standing in this pulpit. And then Billy Paul came in and stood 3 feet away from me, and he pointed over, Daddy will be coming in through that door. He's here already. He's arrived, and he'll be coming through those doors in a couple hours. Now, if we'd be making ready for the meeting, we were in that great, huge tent. So I've been there. Brother Ram said, when you dream, you go places. I've been there. I believe it with all my heart. I'm living for it every day. Well, from his message, when their eyes were open, he said, soon there's something greater than this coming. It'll soon be here. It'll be marvelous then, if the Lord willing. How many ever read my last vision that's been wrote up in the magazine? Wait till you see that take place. Then this will be minor, what the Lord's fixed. You'll just keep on and on and on, and Jesus is coming. The time of the gathering of the people is at hand, and we must look forward to the great things to happen. How many read the sermon, when omnipotence speaks, miracles happen? Did you believe that? Certainly, omnipotence spoke at every junction. And when the church cooled off and omnipotence spoke, miracles take place. And this is the junction of all junctions. This is the end time. The end of the whole history of the world is right now at hand. So you can expect omnipotence to speak, and you can expect the greatest and mightiest miracles that's ever happened on the earth will happen in the next few years to come. Jesus tarries, it will be. And from God in simplicity, Brother Ram said, God just speaks and the rapture will come. It ain't going out there and them angels come down with a shovel and shovel out the graves and get out an old dead carcass here. What is it? That's born in sin to begin with. But a new one made in its likeness. If we have this, we're going to die again. See? Nobody can say the graves will open, the dead shall walk out. Well, that may be true, but not open the way that you say open. That's right. See? It won't be like that. It'll be a secret because he said he would come like a thief in the night. He's already told us this. The rapture, then judgments will strike, sins, plague, sickness, and everything. The people will cry for their death to take them from the judgment. Lord, why is this judgment upon us when you said that there would be a rapture first? And he will say, it's already come and you didn't know it. God hiding himself in simplicity, oh my. All right? It's already happened and you knew it not. Why don't people believe the simple signs of his coming? They're expecting all of these things that's spoken of by the scripture, and the moon is going to go down in the middle of the day, or the sun in the middle of the day, and there's going to be all kinds of things. Why don't people believe the simple signs of his coming? They're expecting all these things that's spoken of by the scriptures, and the moon's going to go down in the middle of, and the sun in the middle of the day, and there's going to be all kinds of these things. You see, that's what the whole of Christianity is looking at today. And they're missing what is God doing right now. By looking for those things, they're missing what he's doing. Those signs are not for us. They are for them that believe not the vindicated word for this hour. Oh, if we just had, and I got notes wrote on here, see, to show what, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Why didn't Brother Branham talk about all these things? It's not for us. It's not for us. We need to stay focused on what is for us. And that's becoming obedient sons. That's becoming transformed by the renewing of the mind. That's to come more and more into the image of the firstborn son. That's to be manifested as sons. Those are the things he spoke on. He said, oh, if we just had, I got notes wrote here on it to show what them things are. And we'll get it on the breaking of the seals this week anyhow. See, there it is. Just where it's exactly passing. You didn't know it. See if it is. If the angel of the Lord will break them seals forth to us. Now remember, it's sealed with them seven mysterious thunders, see? Now, why can't people believe the simple simplicity of a humble bunch of people and the voice of the signs of God? Why can't they believe it just like it's always been? The true word of God being made manifest. They're too smart and too educated to believe the simple form of the written word. They want to put their own interpretation to it. It don't mean this, it don't mean that. It does mean that. Now listen. May I say this right quick now? Even the visions that God gives here at the place, it's so misunderstood. That's the reason you hear me on the tape say what the tapes say what the visions say. And from Hebrews chapter 7. And he took his dead body from the grave on the first day of the week and brought it up to heaven and sat there as a high priest as a memorial, sitting there perfect forever. And he sent the spirit that he tore out of that body right back down upon the church. And that church will have to have the same spirit that was in that body, or it won't dovetail with it in the resurrection. Those two pieces must come perfectly together. And if this church isn't perfectly just exactly the same spirit that was in Christ, you'll never go in the rapture. That's John 14:12. There's the everlasting covenant, brother. Seek it out yourself. What's in your own heart? Love the Lord. Really be sure that you're saved. Don't take a chance on it. You're gambling. No, and listen, we American people love to gamble, but don't you gamble on that. You be sure that you're right. Not because you join church, but because that you're truly born again. Christ has come to you in the person of the Holy Ghost. And from greater than Solomon is here, he says, so I pray that someday I'll see that great uniting together of all the body of Jesus Christ coming together at one great big body, then the rapture shall come. What is the Holy Ghost for? Now the Spirit of God has worked under justification, under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, the baptism of the Holy Ghost under Pentecost, and here it is in the last day performing and doing the very same thing that it did when it was in Christ. What is it? The church in Christ has become one. And as soon as they connect together that last link, she will go through the sky shouting, up will come Wesley, Luther, all the rest of them back in those days there. He that was first will be last. He that's last will be first. And there'll come the resurrection. And from questions and answers, he said, and then when God's people begins to gather back together, there's unity and there's power. See? And whenever God's people gets together completely, I believe the resurrection will take place then. There'll be a rapturing time when the Holy Spirit begins to gather it up. It'll be in the minority, of course, but there will be a great gathering. And from invisible unit, what does he mean by whenever God's people gets together completely? Now, he's not talking about everybody moving to Ohio or moving to Jeffersonville or moving to Tucson. He's talking about when everyone gets into Christ. And he said, but it's going to be in the minority. But when God has his elect in Christ, so with Christ having so much the preeminence in your life that nothing else matters, rapture will take place. From invisible union, he said, there will come forth a resurrection day, which the first will be last and the last will be first. The old prophets will come breaking forth first, and they see the procession going up in the air. And we which are alive and remain shall not hinder them which are asleep, for the trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we will fall right in line with them going in, hallelujah, all down through the age of Luther, Wesley, Methodist, Presbyterian, on down to the last age who receive the word for their age. And from the uniting time and signs, and we find that now the time comes when the trumpet sounds and those sleeping saints back there that could not be made perfect without us, there's many of those Hebrew brothers, and when they come together, they unite with the living ones. The church uniting with the word, then the church and the word uniting together, being come one. The dead saints with the living saints uniting together to be one, and all going together to unite with Christ yonder for the wedding supper of the Lamb. And to think of us standing in a moment in the twinkling of an eye when the world won't know what's going on. When the world won't know what's going on. But all of a sudden you'll see it appear before you. Your loved ones that's gone on has come to unite with you again. That's going to take place. That's what you should be looking for. And we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Let's get ready. Let's get ready for the midnight cry. It's coming in an hour. When you think not, there'll be a cry, not amongst the unbelieving world. It will be a secret. So those who think the tent will be universal to the world once again, they're mistaken. The Omega resurrection will be only for the elect. Be ready and be watching for it. Be expecting it. And you'll be partaker of it. For he comes to those who are expecting him. The Bible says to them who are looking for him shall he come the second time. From how can I overcome, Brother Branham says, sooner or later we're going to have to give each other up. But that won't hurt the rapture now, see? No. They come first then. Them are privileged that's going on. They come first, see? We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will not hinder or prevent those that are asleep. The trumpet of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then when our eyes behold our loved ones, then we'll be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye, and with them shall be caught up together. And from going beyond the camp, Brother Branham said, and you know we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Think of it, missing people, they can't see you no more, but you're getting together with the rest of the group. They can't see you no more. Somehow we are in a different dimension or something. They which are alive remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder, the word is, those which are asleep. Not dead. No Christians don't die. They're just taking a little rest, see? That's all. Oh my. And the trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, appear to many. And all at once you happen to stand and look, and well, there's brother so-and-so. And you know it ain't long. In a few minutes, we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and together with them be missing on earth, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Questions and answers. Then you believe that Jesus is that word, and the word is made flesh now among us, fulfilling exactly what he said he would do in this age. Now the first thing happened when we're resurrected, the ones which are living will just remain. The resurrection will set in first, the resurrection of those that are asleep. Will be awakened. It'll be an awakening time. There will be an awakening time. And those which are asleep in the dust now will be awakened first. And these corruptible bodies will put on incorruption and in the rapturing grace of the Lord. And then we'll all get together. And when they begin to get together, then we which are alive remain shall be changed. I believe that's what that little box is for. These mortal bodies will not see death. But just of a sudden, there'll be like a sweep go over us and you're changed. You turn back like Abraham was from old man to young man. From old woman to young woman, what's the sudden change? And after a while, you're traveling just like a thought. And you can see those then who are already resurrected. Oh, what an hour. Then we'll gather with them and then be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. Yes, the church will all be together, but after the resurrection and the rapture has set in. Well, if you're traveling like I thought, they don't need an airplane, do they? You see? Now, this is a question someone is asking Brother Branham, and watch his response. He reads from Luke 21:36, and the person says, "This, the third pole, and is speaking the word. It seems entirely possible for you to speak the word, and one would be completely and fully restored, placed entirely ready for the rapture and the resurrection, the Son of Man. This is so, or is it not?" And you would do this if properly pressed upon, would you not? Escape all these things. It's got a ditto there. Escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. Now, my dear friend, see. Now, I think here that you got a good statement. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, that would be so. You said, Brother Brown, in other words, here's what I don't think that it's not polishing up what you said, but I believe I can make it a little clearer to the people. See, you are believing because of the spoken word and things like that that he said about. And all of you here witness the squirrels and other things that's been done. But did you notice that was sovereignly given? I never asked him, "Lord, let me do this or speak these things like that, do these things here." I never asked him that. He, by his own divine will, came to me and said, "You go do this." So see, there's a lot of people who believe Brother Branham's going to be raised first, and then he's going to speak, the resurrection is going to take place, and he's going to speak, and the bodies will be changed, and they're making him God. And Brother Branham is letting you know, look, I never asked him to do those things. Yeah, the squirrels happened. They were spoken into existence. Yes, there's been things take place, but he said, I never asked for those things. He said, God told me, you do this, and then I just said what he told me to do, I said what he told me to say. Even Jesus himself said, he said, the Son can do nothing of himself. He said, whatsoever the Father tells the Son to do, that the Son does likewise. Now, from questions and answers, Brother answered, the time of the rapture will be an awakening of the dead and get together with the living for the rapture to take place. And Jesus cannot come until a church, a body of believers, and the ministry that he wants will have to be the same as it was then. And then that brings them without us is not made perfect, Paul said, Hebrews 11. Without us, they cannot be perfected. They must have this ministry to raise up the Luther, Wesley, and all of them down through the ages. And from questions and answers, he said, and then shall he send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds and the utmost parts of the earth to the utmost parts of heaven. That's talking of the resurrection, the translation going up. He will send his angels to gather. Now, did you ever think what the angels are? Huh? They're messengers. He will gather them together, congregate them together, see, bringing them, binding them together from the utmost parts of the earth to the utmost parts of heaven. The word that was been made manifest on earth, see, get it? The word's been spoken, here it's manifested. And from the Easter seal, he said, now, if that same spirit that was upon him to be the Redeemer in that age that we have accepted, now the promise of in this last days, what will take place? If you become part of that word, you are redeemed with him because the same spirit that dwelt in Christ is dwelling in you, quickening your life to this age. And it will also be in the end time, quicken your mortal bodies. It'll resurrect them, bring them up again. That takes the gloom away when we look at that, and that's the truth. Romans here, now Paul has proved it to us. He said, if the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will also quicken your mortal bodies. This is the same spirit that raised him up, that quickened the true believer to eternal life. The spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells into the believer, quickens a believer to eternal life. Now, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you don't have that spirit in you, don't expect a change, a body change. It's not going to happen. You put a seed in the ground that has no kernel of life in it. In other words, it's not a good seed, but it's a seed regardless. Put it in the ground, it won't grow. It's got to have that life in it. From the rising of the sun, he said, now you are already resurrected. When God raised him up, he raised you. The sun is just now on you. And now you're going into a blossom life like he was, to be resurrected completely in that last day. Your potentials you have now. Why do you know? Your soul changed, didn't it? Your body came into obedience to the word, didn't it? Into obedience to what? A church? The word, which is the life. Then you are now resurrected from the dead. You potentially have the earnest, the waiting. Now, when you get the dynamics, You have been quickened from mortal to immortality. It makes the whole body come subject to the word. It'll make you act different, look different, live different. It'll just make you different. Then notice now, as we close, notice this. Notice it's just a little seed laying in the ground. Now potentially you are resurrected. You're resurrected when you receive the Holy Spirit in you. You're resurrected right then. Your body's potentially resurrected. In other words, as I mentioned, if you have the seed life of God in you, you're going to have that body change. And if you die before that time, you're going to be raised up. Now notice Brother Branham said, it makes the whole body come subject to the word. It makes you act different, look different, live different. It'll just make you different. And you're resurrected when you receive the Holy Spirit in you. You're resurrected right then. Your body's potentially resurrected. And I want you to notice that the very same language that he's talking in is the very same language he applies to John 14:12. He says, concerning John 14:12, you will live like Christ, you will act like Christ, you will talk like Christ, you will do the works of Christ, because it's Christ's Spirit that's in you. From faith once delivered to the saints, he said, Jesus said, if I do not the works of Christ, of God, then don't believe me. But he did the works of God. And he said, I do not do nothing in myself till I see the Father doing it first. Whatever I see the Father doing, then the Son does likewise. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. That was the church. Christ left this, that his church would have his Spirit, and the Spirit of Christ will perform and act and live like Christ. And he's identifying John 14:12 with being a believer filled with the Spirit of God. And if that is what John 14:12 will produce in us, then it will also produce a resurrection in us. Because Paul said, if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will make us alive, resurrected, so to speak, while we are yet in these bodies of this death. You see, you take the wheat seed. I don't care, you can smash it with a hammer. I don't care, you can soak it in water, you can smash it with a hammer, you can do everything you want to kill it. But the life is an invisible thing inside of that seed. You can take that seed that you have smashed with a hammer and you can put it into the ground and it'll grow. Because it has to rot anyway first to release the life that's in it. And you have to rot to yourself, to self, in order for the life of Christ to be released in you, to manifest. From questions and answers, he's saying, I'm saying to you in the name of the prophets, see, in the name of a prophet, the resurrection and rapture will be general all over the world, entire world. No matter where you're at, when that hour comes, you'll be caught up to meet him. Well, that does away with an airplane coming to pick you up. That's all. There's nothing going to stop you no matter where you are. And I hope that I'm there, one of them. I just only trust and hope in God that I'll be one of them, and each one of you will be in that same. And from questions and answers, across the world, they won't be gathered in one place to have things in common. But little groups of them will be scattered all over the earth. I believe maybe if the Lord permits, this may be a little one of it. Maybe another little group in Asia, one down in Germany or one down somewhere else. When I see a vision of the bride the other night, they was made up from the international, see? So the bride won't be gathered from one place. It'll be gathered from all over the world. Now, how many churches in this message think, hey, it's going to be this church? They're gathering here to this church from this country, so we are it. Forget it. It's universal. It's from all over the world. From letting off the pressure. Can't you see we're at the end time? It's all over. The next thing will be a sweep of getting that little group together, and in a month or so, she'll be gone. As soon as she's gathered together, we're at the end. There's no hope left anywhere. Run to Christ. Well, where are they getting gathered together to? Christ. This word. From the seven church ages, behold, he cometh with clouds. Now, let me stop here just a moment. Clouds doesn't mean that he's coming on a big thunderhead. As Mama, bless her heart, she's sitting here somewhere. I remember her voice. She used to sit and tell me, he's coming on a great big cloud. Going to race someday, and God's going to come on it. Now, the cloud that he's coming on is, if we can just have the time to get this back and get the real background of the whole thing, now the cloud he's coming in is not a cloud like a thunderhead, but it's a cloud of glory he's coming in. See? Now, when Jesus was overshadowed by God in Mount Transfiguration, clouds overshadowed him in his raiment. See? And when Elijah would come down, a cloud come down and received him up, not a thunderhead, but a cloud of glory. His great glorious presence will strike the earth. He cometh with clouds. Oh, I love that. Clouds. There'll be wave after wave of his glory will come across the earth, and the resurrection of the saints shall come. That blessed Holy Spirit that's lived in their hearts, and they died with their corpses laying there and pierced their veins and over their cheeks and things like that, and they're placed back in the graveyard. A great wave of that same Spirit, and wave after wave. He that was last will be first, and he that was first will be last. Well, I kind of see it that way. That's the order of the resurrection. I won't know nobody in the generation before me or the generation after me. I'll know those in the generation with me. Every generation will come successfully right as it went down. They which were last will be first. Sure, that's me. See, I'll know my people. The next time my dad, his people, the grandfather, his people, on down like that, wave after wave after wave after wave, and the saints will rise from everywhere. Won't that be wonderful? Amen. That's what makes the old people feel young again. Yes. Now notice closely, for I come to you in a cloud, and every eye shall see him. No matter how far back they died, they'll see him. So in other words, this generation comes up, then the generation that preceded us, our father's generation, our grandfather's generation, our grandfather's generation, all the way back to the time of Paul, the first age. He which is last shall be first. And he which is first, that's Paul's generation, will be last. It's like getting on an elevator. You watch people get on an elevator, the first one in is the last one to get off. From the message I know. And if Job by a vision could stand so firmly upon the promise, how much more ought we to do? After Christ is raised from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept and sent back the Holy Spirit as a sealed promise upon us, that we too shall, because I live, you shall live also. Seeing his great presence among us, working, doing the same signs and wonders that he did on earth, giving us a hope. And we come to that, to the resurrection, and then remain on our ash heap. Let's get off the ash heap today with a new vision, with a new power, with a new determination that we see God in his power. We see the resurrection of things coming. And from the entombment, he said, our life is just a pattern. It's just a shadow and not the real thing. It's the negative side. It takes death to develop the picture to put us back in the theophany that we come from. Then in the resurrection, we come in his likeness, a resurrected body. What a beautiful thing. Not only beautiful, but it's a real solemn truth of God's eternal word that we'll be like him. Well, the thing of it is, in Romans chapter 12, it says that we will receive our transformation by the renewing of the mind. We've got to come to the place where we are so filled with God's word that when questions come up, immediately scripture comes up to answer those questions. When you hear things, scripture comes to your mind. When you see things, scripture comes to your mind. And when you are so filled with his word, you're filled with his spirit. Because the measure of the word is the measure of spirit. That's where we're coming. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're looking, God, with great anticipation to the soon resurrection of the saints which have gone on before us. And Father, each of us, we pray that we would have someone that we would know that would come forth and that would let us know that the resurrection is on. Help us to be ready for that hour, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. And Father, if there be members of our family that are not ready, help us to just apply that token, Lord, on a daily basis. And just bring that atmosphere of your love and that atmosphere, oh God, of your Holy Spirit. May that atmosphere prevail in our homes. May all the fussing and bickering and just ones being at odds with one another, may it all end, oh God. And may truly your church be filled with your love. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. No who holds the future, and life is worth the living.